morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. I'm hoping to help you know how to study your Bible better. And so this week I'm identifying key mistakes made in studying the Bible. And yesterday I started talking about context, reading verses in the Bible in their proper context. And I'm going to talk today about putting them in their biblical context. And so I'm going to use an example I think that you'll recognize right away, one you've heard before. In Matthew 5, verse 38, Jesus says the following: "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." All right, so here we have Jesus, and he says, "You've heard about eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you," and then he goes on to give the command. If anyone, this translation says slaps, we're probably more familiar with, strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now this verse, if someone strikes you on the one cheek, right cheek, turn to him the other also, has been used to support all kinds of things. For instance, pacifism, that a Christian cannot in any circumstance ever support war. There's no such thing as a just war or a war that a Christian can fight in. A Christian should never serve in the military. Those kind of arguments. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here at all. I think that there are several things going on here in interpretation. One, I think Jesus, we see this again and again in his teachings, uses sort of humorous and exaggerated examples to make a point. He wants you to visualize this. He wants you to almost feel this, to really get what he's saying. So imagine someone you striking you on the right cheek and you turn and say, "Okay, here's my other cheek." Well, that's absurd. No one's ever going to do that. No one's ever done that. Jesus is not talking about a life-threatening situation. Jesus is not saying if someone shoots you in the back, turn to him your chest also. Jesus is saying if someone insults you, and I think that's why I like this translation, if someone slaps you in the cheek, it's more of a wounds your pride kind of issue, then you are not to respond by hitting them back. You are to even say, "Okay, I'll let you do that. My goal with you is not to win a battle with you. My goal is to love you. My goal is to love God. And sometimes I'm going to have to suffer wounds to my pride, and I don't have to have a 'I've got to get back at everyone all the time' kind of mentality for every insult." And if you can live your life that way, it's counterintuitive. It's really hard. When someone insults you, you want to insult them back. You want to get even with them. But if everyone could live the way Jesus is saying here, imagine how much better the world would be. If everyone could say, "I'm going to try to bring peace to situations. I'm not going to escalate them." Now, again, I don't think Jesus is talking about global conflict or countries fighting against one another. I don't think that he says we should never use military force. I think he's just saying sometimes when someone insults you, don't fire an insult right back. All right, but there's another issue going on in this verse. He says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you." And here's where biblical context comes into play. What is Jesus quoting when he says eye for eye and tooth for tooth? He's quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting Exodus chapter 21. And so some people have taken this verse to mean, oh, Jesus didn't like the Old Testament command, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. The Old Testament was all about vengeance. Jesus is saying, "But I tell you, you should be loving and not follow the Old Testament." But that is to really not understand the Old Testament. And that is to take Jesus' words out of their biblical context. Let's look at Exodus chapter 21, verse 23. It says, "But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise." Now, what does it mean to take eye for eye? Does that mean literally if someone injures my eye so that I can no longer see when I'm at work. And this has to do with work laws. What your slave specifically is what it's talking about does. If I injure his eye, do I have to have my eye cut out, literally? And we might think, well, let's think about the cultural context. Remember, it's all about context. Is that how other countries punished people who wounded someone else's eye? But we don't even need to go to cultural context. It's right here in the Bible, in the literary context, in the next verse. It says in verse 26, an owner who hits a male or female slave in the eye and destroys it must let the slave go free to compensate for the eye. In other words, you don't actually cut someone's eye out, but you give compensation that's equivalent to an eye. If it's a slave you injure their eye, then you need to let them go free because that's the only way you're going to compensate them for their eye. This was revolutionary in the Middle East. At the time, a slave's eye wasn't worth anything compared to the owner's eye. And what the biblical law code does is it puts everyone on equal footing and it transforms cultures. It's transformed our own culture. As people have studied these laws, they've realized that you can't really do what is all in the law here and have the kind of slavery system that we've had. So a lot of times people get really bothered by there being slavery laws in the Old Testament, but these were really very useful in undermining the whole concept of slavery because they put everyone on equal footing. But I can talk more about that another time. What I want you to notice there, though, is that this is about justice. This is about protecting slaves and the vulnerable and the weak. This is about saying, hey, just because it's your servant, that doesn't mean that your eye is more valuable than their eye. And there's also an element here of you can't do more. If someone takes your eye, you don't get to kill them. And that was a common thing in ancient culture, that you could you could take a life for something less than a life. And the Bible is very clear when it comes to the civil law code, when it comes to the court system, you are to take something of equal value, but no more. And everyone is on equal footing. And this had, apparently by Jesus' day, been used to kind of justify vengeance. But even Jesus is saying, hey, the law, the way it's written originally, is meant to restrain vengeance, is meant to restrain this, I've got to get back at the person. It allows the court to establish something that is just and fair. And so you should live in your personal context as someone who is not looking for personal vengeance all the time. Now, Jesus himself just said in this chapter that he loves the law, upholds the law, even the least of the commandments, he says, will by no means disappear until everything is accomplished. Jesus is not against this command in the Torah, in the book of the law, in Exodus. He is not against eye for an eye, the way it's spelled out in Exodus 21. He's saying that we, as his disciples, in our personal lives, need to go even above and beyond it. We need to seek to bless others and even love our enemies, as he's going to go on to say. It's a radical, transformative view, and I believe Jesus is building it out of the Old Testament text. He's saying this is what the Old Testament text was seeking to teach you to think in this way about others, to elevate fellow human beings, to think about them above your own needs even. And he's saying that's how you, if you're going to really live out these commands, how you need to treat one another. This is about biblical context. We can't really understand the teachings of Jesus unless we really understand these teachings in the Old Testament that he's quoting from and commenting on. They work together. And mistakes in interpretation come up when you try to separate them out. Well, we're going to look at another kind of common mistake tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.